Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. How many of you have heard that you need to have, you must have an emergency fund? Well, I'll give you a hint. Everyone has heard this because this has been like personal finance 101 for ages. How many of you actually have one? And I think we'll hear crickets, because while it is one of those pieces of advice that is almost universally distributed, not a lot of people have an emergency fund in that way. And maybe that's okay. Maybe you're not missing out. My next guest would argue that instead of having an emergency fund per se, what you really need is an emergency plan. Ed Rempel is a fee-for-service financial planner and tax accountant. He also writes the Unconventional Wisdom blog. Hello there, Ed.
Hello there, Bruce. How are you?
Well, this is unconventional wisdom here, because everybody's emergency fund. You say we don't necessarily need an emergency fund. We need an emergency plan instead. Why do you make that argument?
Yes, that's exactly true. So what we need is we need to be able to access some money in case you have an emergency for which you don't have time to save up. And it could be a savings account, but it could also be a credit line. It could be investments. You need to have a plan of, you know, if and when you need money for an emergency, where do you get it from?
And really, how do you define that word? Because I think from my perspective, there's an oversimplification and people lump all sorts of things under this emergency umbrella that I'd say that's actually not an emergency. Yeah. It's a lumpy expense. It's one that doesn't come every single month. But given that you own a house, it's kind of predictable that at some point you're going to need a new furnace.
Yes, exactly. Some of those things you can really predict, although you really don't know when. I find people sometimes use just for, I have an emergency. I feel like I want a new car. Well, that's not an emergency. An emergency is you don't have time to save up. It's completely unexpected. And you know what? Like, you should also decide how much it is. There's a rule of thumb. It should be 3 to 6 months expenses. But, you know, for you, just think through what is the worst thing that can happen. For most people, it's losing their job. Yeah. So let's say you lose your job and then it takes you quite a while to find another job. And, you know, so your EI doesn't fully cover you. And, so how much, think of how much money you might need for that. And like you say, it could be a home repair, it could be a car repair, it could be family needs money, but kind of think of, what do you think is the biggest unexpected expense that I might get? And then you need to access the money somewhere.
You're pointing to something that I think is really important to address at the outset here, and that is people's circumstances are so different. If you were a single, the sole breadwinner in your family, losing your job is much more dramatic than if you're a two-income household in which your income may be half of what the primary breadwinner is. You lose your job, it's not fun, it's not great, things will change, but it's not as cataclysmic if you were a single parent and sole income earner. Exactly. How do you think broadly about your very personal circumstances?
Yeah, I call it the emergency number. Like, what is the number you need? And you're right. Usually when we're planning for a emergency plan, it is for a couple. And you're right. Very often one makes a lot more than the other. So if the high income person loses their job, it's a bigger cash problem than if the low income person loses their job, the budget might be fine, but you could still, but it could still be the other one. So you still need an emergency fund or an emergency plan based on whoever it is. But, exactly like you were saying, like a lot of people have been told you need to save one up. So I see people, younger people saving, and it's like years go by and they're trying to save $30,000 in a savings account and they can't get there. And then they're tempted to spend it and years are going by and they haven't started any long-term savings yet. And it's to me a real mess.
And so I think what you're pointing to there is the trade-off that they're making by putting 30 grand away into a savings account with not much return. It's often at the expense of something. It could be the expense at the expense of retirement savings. It could be at the expense, this is part makes me crazy, at the expense of paying down high interest debt.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Well, I mean, a lot of times they try to pay off their credit cards, but then they're tempted to run them up. And then they try to save. And, 10 years go by and they've got nothing for their retirement plan yet. Right.
Yeah.
So And still struggling with those two. Like, okay, well, you gotta start on the retirement plan. And I can tell you from like, because we've done like complete comprehensive financial plans for literally thousands of people. And you know, the biggest piece of it is always the retirement plan. And you know what? To retire the way you want, you probably the good news and bad news is the bad news is it probably takes a lot more money to retire the way you want than you think. The good news is if you make a plan, you can get there more easily than you think. But it's a big number, so you can't just keep putting it off and putting it off and just fighting with the emergency fund. You gotta put it away.
Your choice of the word plan and the phrase emergency plan feels a lot more holistic than just the emergency fund piece. What else would you put under that category, an emergency plan?
Well, I'm like, yeah, like I said, it could be a fund, it could be a credit line that you have access to, could be investments. You know, the most thing, what we do most commonly for the bulk of our clients is a credit line. We set up an unsecured credit line for enough that would cover for whatever they need. We tell them, like, this is a credit line over here. It's a little bit high interest rate, but reasonable. So if you have to use it for a short period of time, and the intention is not to use it, and then don't use it. Like, the idea is it just sits there kind of forever. You know, so the credit line is your emergency plan. Now we're going to take that money you were going to put in the fund, and we're going to invest all of it for your retirement. And
Right.
so the big thing is you don't have 30,000 or 50,000 sitting around at 2 or 3% instead of making 10% in the stock market for the next 30 or 40 years. It's a huge difference. You know, that can be a quarter of a million that you've lost in over 30 years by having all that money sitting around at a low return.
What's the phrase? People are their own worst enemies sometimes. So you get that line of credit. If it's secured against real estate, it could be a pretty significant amount. How do you mitigate the risk that people will spend and increase the balance on that line of credit?
Well, see, is that way, like for us, we have to get to know the clients. And I think most people that come to us, I guess, I think are a bit more, they actually are paying for a financial plan up front. They're more generally more responsible people. But some people I know are just they can't have a credit line, they'd be tempted to spend it all the time. Well, then, you know, if you because we've had the odd client like that. If they have a credit line, they'll just run it up and max it. And if we refinance it for them so to free it up, they run it up again. Okay, well then okay, that plan doesn't work for you. It does work for most people, but it doesn't work for you. And that thing is, some of those people, even the savings plan won't work either because they're just going to use it up. If whatever is available, you always spend. Well, then I don't know. Maybe just forget it and just take your chances because you have to start the long-term savings somewhere, and you're less likely to
One of
tap in
the
your RSP.
other realities that people need to consider, I think, in their emergency planning is health issues. One scenario would be disability. Another horrendous scenario would be death. How do you think about disability insurance, critical insurance, life insurance, and the estate plan as you think more broadly about that whole emergency plan?
Yeah, so I think of those as separate from the emergency plan. Like, the emergency plan is I need money short term, and usually we look at death and disability as separate issues. You know, so especially you're a couple, you've got someone that's dependent on you financially. If you die, it's a problem. So let's figure out how much money would it take for that for your partner to live the same life and have the same retirement goal and every other life goals. How much would you need? And let's get that much life insurance. And a lot of people think it's just enough to pay the mortgage off, but usually it's quite a bit more than that if and you can get that pretty cheaply. And disability is the most important insurance to have because, what is it? I think the stat is 1 out of 3 Canadians are disabled for a period of time during their working career. It's usually sickness related. And on average, they're off like 2 years. So you think if you get sick and can't work for 2 years, and you get a heart attack or cancer and you're off work for 2 years. Well, that's if you don't have disability insurance, that's a problem. A lot of employers have it. But those two, I think, are really critical separate pieces, separate from the emergency plan.
One last question on the funding of these unexpected expenses that I wouldn't call emergencies, because as I say, if you own a house, you should know that at some point your roof's going to leak or your toilet's going to back up or something like that. Do you advise people to have an automatic withdrawal out of their bank account on a regular basis to build up that buffer? Is that a world knowing that it's you're not going to save 3 to 6 months of income, but you are knowing as a homeowner, just as an example, you're going to spend a couple of grand on your house. There's just no way of avoiding it over the course of a year.
Yeah, like it's, we've had a similar situation with a car. People think, okay, I'm going to buy a car for a few years. Should I just start saving every month for it or wait till the end? And you know what? That sounds like a smart thing to do. I just find that most of the time you're actually better off, I don't know, just not doing that. That's one good solid way to do it. But a lot of times we just like focus on the long-term plan, have your money available. And then so the extra money that you would have saved, you know, maybe pay your mortgage down that much faster so you get extra, so you're making a bit more headway. And then if you use this unsecured credit line for some emergency, what you do is you try to pay it off. But if you can't, when your mortgage comes due, you roll it into your mortgage. Now right. You've refinanced it at the lowest rate and you keep focusing on paying your mortgage and saving for your retirement. And that way, all your money is working much harder for you than if it's, in a low return credit line savings account.
It seems like, as we've had this conversation, the biggest benefit here to this distinction between an emergency fund and emergency plan is that the plan feels doable. And we want people to have something that's doable, because that whole 6 month fantasy of saving 6 months of income for most people in these times just feels like a pipe dream.
Life is so expensive now anyway. It's just so hard for people to do it. So yeah, emergency plan, it works. It's doable. And also you're using your money efficiently, effectively. So that's the biggest thing.
Really helpful stuff, Ed. Thanks for joining us to talk about it.
All right. So glad to be on here again, Bruce.
Ed Rempel is a fee-for-service financial planner, tax accountant, and also writes the Unconventional Wisdom blog. We're here to talk about the difference between having one of those traditional emergency funds and perhaps a more holistic view of an emergency plan.